Okay. What, you gonna sit over there by the couch?
Oh, there's the mayor.
Take the mayor.
You can take it off.
Mayor's on.
Laura. All right. I'm gonna mute you, Mayor, because you're echoing a little bit. All right. I guess we could get started. I just re-emailed Dawn the link.
Okay. We can see the mayor, so we're good.
Laura, just so you know, if anybody's echoing, that just means that they have two audio sources.
Yeah, so, I know that.
So but they just need to shut off whatever their secondary audio source is so it doesn't loop.
Yeah, he probably has on his phone and the iPad.
Oh, well, Tim is branching out into IT.
Oh, no. When we all started this 3 years ago, he's doing, him and Orvin are the ones that helped me learn all this.
Just tell the mayor that. Like, mayor, if you have the phone on, just turn it off.
Yeah, shut the phone off if you have to. Star 6, mayor.
Well, he was unmuted.
Yeah, well, I muted him for the echo.
Hear me?
Yeah, oh, I heard him.
Yeah, he is.
All right.
Okay, Madam Chair, we can start the meeting.
Okay. The Piscataway Township Planning Board meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. And will the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Waller?
Here.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Here.
Ms. Corcoran is working on it. Ms. Saunders? She's here.
She's not
muted. I see you, Carol.
Can you hear me?
She's good.
Oh, here.
I hear you now. Reverend Kent.
Okay.
Here.
Mr. Atkins?
Here.
And Madam Chair?
Here. Mr. Barlow, would you please read the open public meeting notice?
Certainly, Madam Chair, this meeting is being conducted by way of the Zoom platform in keeping with the Department of Community Affairs guidelines that were promulgated originally as part of the COVID protocols. The notices that have been sent out all have the Zoom link, and it's been provided to the public if they so choose to participate. So we are good to go.
Very good. Roll call, please, Ms. Buckner.
We did. We
just did that.
Did we do the roll call? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Next is
okay. You can see the Pledge of Allegiance, the flag over my right shoulder. Let's repeat the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, would you please swear in the professionals, please?
Can you please raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any announcements of changes to the agenda, Mr. Barlow?
Madam Chair, and there are no changes to the agenda that I am aware of. And hello, Ms. Corcoran. I see you.
Hi. I apologize. Having a little difficulty with the internet. Sorry.
There are no agenda changes, right? I'd like to have a motion to pay the bills.
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I make a motion to pay the bills.
Do I have a second?
Carol Saunders, second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Roll call. You're muted. Jeez.
Maybe that's why nobody's answering me. Mayor Waller.
Yes.
That's the woman Cahill.
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran.
Yes.
Ms. Saunders.
Yes.
Reverend Kenny.
Yes.
Mr. Atkins.
Yes.
And Madam Chair.
Yes. Item number 8, adoption of resolution to memorialize action taken on March 8th, 2023. I don't think we have any. Is that not applicable, Ms. Buckley?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting of March the 8th, 2023.
Madam Chairman, Carol Saunders, I'd like to adopt the minutes from the regular meeting of March 8th, 2023.
Madam Chair, I'll second that.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 10, 22PB06/07, Beers and Victor, as Azar Javid and Rafakat Jisoam Farouk. Locked 8001, Lot 9, Zone R10, for a minor subdivision and bulk variance. Mr. Arch?
Good evening, Madam Chair. Good evening, members of the board, board professionals. I'm Tim Arch. I'm an attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey, and I'm here representing Mr. Javed and Mr. Farouki. This is an application for a minor subdivision at 1112 Brookside Road. This is an oversized long lot. So dimensionally, it actually is multiple times the requirement for length existing and for area. And we are proposing to subdivide into two residential properties with proposed single family homes, which are permitted in that area. Housekeeping question, I would ask Mr. Barlow if we have proper jurisdiction in front of the board.
You do, Mr. Arch.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. And also we have three reports. I have a CME report dated March 17th, 2023. I have a memorandum from Mr. Hinterstein dated March 21st, 23. And I have a DNR memo dated March 10th, 2023. I'm going to cut to the chase and say that we will agree with all of the conditions and the comments contained in all of those reports, just so that the board is aware. By way of, there are two comments or two questions, or I guess requests for clarification on Mr. Ryerson's report, the CME report. And so by way of background, I want to kind of tell you how we got to this point, and I think that'll answer at least one of the questions in the CME report. This is an application that's been going on for quite some time. When we originally applied for this, what we did is that because our property is abutting up against township property, and because we are requesting, I should actually go over the minor variances that we're requesting. Dimensionally, the two lots that we are creating, we're proposing an 88.07 foot lot width for one of the new lots, which also is the same as the lot frontage, where 100 feet is required. And on the other lot, proposed lot 902, we are requesting an 88.07 foot minimum lot depth, where 100 feet is required. And on that lot, we are asking for a front yard setback of 23 feet as opposed to the 35 feet for the home that's proposed on that lot. As far as the dimensional requirements, we did send a letter out, which is our practice to send a letter out to the adjacent property to see if they were interested in purchasing selling any of their adjacent land in order to make our lots more conforming. That's township property. When we originally filed this application a while ago, we did send a letter out, and the feedback we got initially was that the township was not interested in selling any portion of the adjacent lot. So then as the process of the application went on, the township actually contacted us and indicated that they would be interested in selling a 10-foot portion of the adjacent lot. And so that's what would bring our dimensions more closer to the 100 feet and get us to that 88 as opposed to a 78 foot dimension. And so we do have a letter of intent that is signed to purchase that. So if you do look favorably on this application, you certainly can make a condition, and we will be purchasing that 10-foot strip in order to bring further into compliance the lots that we are creating. So I think that answers at least one of the clarifications in the CME letter. The other one is, I believe, number 7, which is we are listing that we have a cellar, and Mr. Ryerson just wanted us to confirm whether it's a cellar or a basement. It is, in fact, I believe, technically a cellar per the ordinance, and we are not proposing any sleeping quarters or any bedrooms in that cellar, and if the board were to make that a condition, we would certainly agree with that. So I don't want to go through all of the reports because they're quite lengthy, but I will just note that we are going to comply with all the comments in those reports. And with that said, I do have one witness tonight, who is Miss Kathy Mueller. She is our professional engineer, and you'll see when we go through, she's going to show her plans, and you'll see some of the where these variances are and why why the constraints of the property require us to ask for these variances. So I would ask at this point that that Ms. Mueller be brought into testimony.
You may proceed. May I have her sworn in, please.
Ms. Mueller, can you please raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony about to give you the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. Catherine with a C. Mueller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R.
Thank you.
Ms. Mueller, if you could, can you briefly go over your credentials as an engineer?
Sure. I'm the owner and principal of Page Mueller Engineering in Warren Township, New Jersey. I'm a registered professional engineer in the state of New Jersey. My license is in good standing. I have a bachelor's of science degree in engineering, civil and environmental engineering from Clarkson University. I've given testimony in front of many boards throughout Somerset, Middlesex, Morris, Passaic, Union County. I've been in front of the Board of Adjustment here in Piscataway, but I don't believe I've had the pleasure of the planning board until tonight.
Thank you. I see no reason why she can't testify as an exponent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Mueller, I'm going to, if you want to share your screen and if you want to just briefly go over your plans and what the relief is that we're asking for.
Sure.
Tim, as we go through the exhibits, we'll just go A1 and continue that way, unless there are these specific plans that were submitted.
I believe, and I'll have Ms. Mueller confirm this, I believe these are the plans that have been submitted and that they aren't altered in any way, but if they are, we can certainly mark them.
Perfect.
Sure. The plans I have on the screen are what were submitted to the township, dated February 10th, 2022, last revised February 23rd, 2023. So I'm just going to go through the plans here. It's a three-page set on the cover page. I'll just briefly describe the existing conditions. It is a corner lot. I'm going to, just for ease of description, I'm going to refer to the Brookside roadside as north. It's kind of that corner. It's the physical corner of the intersection. Vacasano Court runs to the west. We have single family lots to the south. And as you've heard, to the, what I'm terming the east, is a vacant lot owned by Piscataway Township. So our application is for both block 8001, lots 9 and 10.01. The majority of the improvements, all the improvements will be on lot one. We've included lot 10.01 because we are proposing the 10-foot minor subdivision to include the transfer of 10 feet to the project lots. There is an existing single family house that fronts on Brookside Road. They have one driveway curb cut, single family house, a detached shed in the back. And through the middle of the lot, you'll see that there's some environmental constraints. The applicant did file with the DEP for an LOI, which is valid until 2025. It indicates the features to be state open waters, no associated wetland buffers, but as there's a defined channel and bank, there will be a riparian buffer associated with that feature. We studied the drainage area to the ditch. It's less than 50 acres, so there is no flood hazard elevation associated with it. And just as you heard Mr. Arch describe, we're a narrow kind of rectangular lot. Under existing conditions, we're 78.07 feet wide or deep, depending on which way you're looking at it. And then the long axis on average is about 558 feet. The lot in total for lot 9 is exactly 1 acre, or 43,560 square feet. And the adjacent township lot is approximately 2 acres. If nobody has any questions about the existing conditions, I'll go to our minor subdivision.
You may proceed to the next portion of your testimony.
So what we show on this plan is basically the 10-foot dedication or the 10-foot purchase from the township lot. This interior dash line was the old property line. We're adding 10 feet from the adjacent lot and essentially dividing the property into two lots. The resultant lots we've labeled as 9.01, which will be the corner lot of Brookside Road and Vacasano, and what I'll refer to as the interior lot, 9.02. 9.01 will be 24,571 square feet. And just a reminder, we're in the R10 10,000 square foot zone. So we're almost two and a half times the size in land area. And the rear lot similarly is 24,539 square feet, or 639 square feet. I apologize. So again, almost two and a half times the land area. So what we did then, and with consultants and input from your consultants, we struck the yards. In Piscataway, the narrowest frontage on a corner lot is measured for both the frontage and the lot width. So that's where we arrive at our two variances for proposed lot 9.01, because we're measuring the lot width and frontage along the shorter access of the property. So that's proposed at 88.07 feet. We have two front yards. The side yard abuts the township property, and the rear yard is adjacent to the new lot line. The rear lot, if everybody can see that, is actually analyzed different. It has one front along Vacasano, which exceeds the required 100-foot lot frontage and lot width. And then our lot depth is 88.07, and we are requesting that variance. The lot does have a little bit of a unique boundary, as Vacasano's right-of-way curves away from the lot. The lot continues straight along Vacasano. So we end up with a little bit of a radius along the front yard, utilizing that property corner. Then we have the minimum side yards and the required rear yard adjacent to the township property. So we've created two buildable areas on the property. And then if anybody has any questions on that, I'll move right along to sheet three with our proposed development plan.
Are there any questions from the board at this particular time as to this portion of her testimony? Then I think you can proceed.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So what we show here is two conceptual single family dwellings. Again, I'll start by describing lot 9.01. We're going to be removing all the existing improvements, which are up and fronting on Brookside Drive. And we're going to turn the house, and it will front on Vacasano Court. The existing driveway will be abandoned. We'll comply with any curb replacement as per your engineer's review letter. And we'll have a two-car garage, 20-foot wide driveway accessing Vacasano. The combination of the two-car garage and the length of the driveway, width of the driveway, per the RSIS, will be 3.5 parking spaces, which is sufficient for the single-family dwelling, which we are proposing. The footprint of the dwelling is approximately 1,990 square feet. It's in line with the other homes along Vacasano. The majority of those, although approximately measured off of an aerial photo, are much larger. Those range from 2,300 to 3,000 square feet across the road. So they're appropriate for the neighborhood. Lot 9.01, other than the dimensional variances that we're seeking, the house will fit with no other side yard, front yard, rear yard variances required. We do have the front porch, which is allowed to encroach into the required 35-foot front yard setback. Lot 9.02 We did do some consideration on this lot. It's the same footprint. We've flipped it per the architecture that was submitted so that the driveway and the garage will be on the left. Again, two car garage, sufficient length and width to be considered 3.5 spaces per RSIS. But we've pulled the house forward. We've done this because we do have the riparian buffer in the rear. So basically what the riparian buffer regulates is vegetation. We've set the house where we have it so that we are not removing any trees within the riparian buffer. The work that's proposed will be considered and qualify for a permit by rule. And we've left a little bit of room around the back left corner so that we're not encroaching 25 feet from the top of the bank, which is one of the criteria of the permit by rule. The placement of the house will be 23 feet from the front yard setback. That's what we're requesting. But where we locate it, as you come down Vacasano, we are not located within the front or actually, you know, blocking the view of the adjacent house over on lot 3.13. So again, it's the same house, 1,990 square feet. Two-car garage. This one, we're meeting the setbacks of the two side yards, technical side yards, the rear yard setback, and requesting the 23-foot front yard setback when 35 is required. So we've received and looked through all of the professional memos. We don't have any, as Mr. Arch had said, we don't have any objections to any of the comments. I know there was some concern about these trees have not been pruned properly over the years. We'll agree to remove those. There was some discussion about doing the whole lot for the tree locations. We will be locating and field surveying the street trees along Vacasano. It is fairly wooded. So we'll identify those, and if more street trees are deemed required, we'll certainly agree with that. The other more significant request is that sidewalk be installed. As you can see, it ends at the corner of Brookside and Vacasano, and then also at the adjacent neighbor. We will be applying to the DEP. That will require a permit because we are going through the riparian buffer, and also we will be within 25 feet of that top of bank. So that'll be a general permit with the DEP, which if the board finds favorable for the subdivision, we will be applying for that as a condition of approval. We've indicated stormwater management with the proposed dry wells. They've been sized for 3 inches over the roof per today's standards and green infrastructure and distances to groundwater and infiltration. We will be doing soil tests to ensure that those will both work properly and being compliant with all the regulations. And if we need to revise it from a standard concrete dry well, there's many other methods that we can use in plastic arches. So the true improvements we would propose to do at the time of plot plan, we'll put the footprints on, we'll do full soil erosion and sediment control per the township standards, and then we'll do the soil tests and propose a stormwater management system that is compliant with the soils. Both houses will be served by public water and public sewer. The existing house has both utilities, which we'll utilize, and the new house will connect into Vacasano Court. So that's the gist of the improvements, a minor subdivision. Again, these are going to be oversized lots. We do have the dimensional variances, as I described, with the within the frontage and also the depth on 9.02.
Thank you. Ms. Muller, if I can just, I just want to ask you one or two quick follow-up questions. Just to confirm, we are happy to work with all the township professionals to address any of their concerns that were brought up in the letters. Would that's accurate?
Yes.
Okay. And I just want to touch upon, you had indicated number one, that the house really, we can't move it back anymore because we're constrained by those environmental concerns, the location of the tree and the location of the riparian zone. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And you had also mentioned the way that the right-of-way curves down Vacasano and sort of the lot line continues straight, that while it's technically a 23-foot setback, visually, I think you were indicating that it actually will appear to be not as imposing into the setback because the right-of-way actually curves away and flares out. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you can't see the lot lines, obviously, when you're out there in the real world. You really just judge that by where the right-of-way is, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Relative to the curb, it's going to be very similar to the adjacent house.
And yeah, and one thing I did want to ask is, I think that we had essentially an estimate of the adjacent house, what its setback is. Do you recall what that is, or do you have that shown on your plan?
We do. It's 27.3. Again, this is estimated off of aerial photos. So 27.3 on the curve.
And that's fairly consistent with what we're asking for, minus a 1 or 2 feet.
That's correct.
Okay. I have no further direct questions.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from the board, members of the board at this time of this witness?
Madam Chair, I do, Mayor Waller. Not so much a question, but a statement for Mr. Arch. One of the problems that we've been having with some of the properties that homes that back up to township property or township parkland is that residents over time don't know where the boundary lines are, and then they end up going in using township land or township parkland. So we're going to request as part of the board approval that there be on the corners adjacent, the lot corners adjacent to the township parcel, a small sign or delineation of where the boundary lines, that what we've been putting up is that township property beyond this point, and on the other side of the sign, I'll say private property beyond this point. So I want to know in the future that if Public Works has to go out there for any reason, everybody knows where everybody's boundary line is, and nobody's guessing, and nobody's putting brush or tree limbs on township properties and then calling the township Public Works saying that it needs to be removed because it fell from a tree or something like that. I just want to make sure everybody knows where the boundary lines are out there on these two, on this two lot subdivision.
I think that sounds completely reasonable, and I don't see any reason why we wouldn't agree with it. I do know we have represented the ownership is here, and certainly if I say anything that they disagree with, they can unmute and let me know. But I think that's perfectly reasonable, and we would agree with that.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Arch.
Mayor, while you're unmuted, a quick question. On the last subdivision, you had mentioned something about with new construction running a certain type of pipe to the house almost to run something in the future. Arch
to run a blank conduit line up to the two homes. So when new fiber optic lines eventually in the future come in, that they won't have to be run overhead, they could be run underground. So it'll be just like a 4-inch PVC blank conduit line going up to the home to be stubbed out at the curb line.
Again, seems very reasonable. I have no objection to that. And I would ask Ms. Mueller if there's any engineering objection to it to jump up and down, but I don't think that's happening. So I think we're fine.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Storch.
Okay. Any other questions from any other board members? Okay. At this time, I'd like to open it up to the public for any questions that they may have. Ms. Buckley.
Ms. Mueller, can you unshare your screen, please? Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
We have two, Madam Chair. Jenny Mack.
Hello. This is Jenny Mack. I'm one of the current residents on Vosisiano Court.
I don't mean to cut you off, but if Ms. Saunders is going to have to swear you in, so if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your address, and then Ms. Saunders will swear you in.
Sure. My name is Jenny Mack, J-E-N-N-Y, last name M-A-K.
And your address, ma'am?
My address is 16 Vosisiano Court, Piscataway.
Thank you.
Ms. Mack, can you please raise your right hand?
Yes. Just
whether the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, yeah, my question is, we do have a homeowner association for Wosisano Court, so I wonder, given that, you know, this variance and lots are going to be on the street as well, you know, especially the entrance is going to be from Wosisano, would they be, you know, are we supposed to include these two new lots into the association, or just a general question?
That's a very good question. I actually don't know the answer to that. I would defer to if anybody on the board or if any board professionals know the answer to that. I honestly do not know.
Because we do pay for like common charges, what, right? Like, because right now you guys saw that it's a wood, you know, it's, you know, a lot of wood, right? We actually chip in, right, for the common use space, including, you know, taking care of the lawns and the trees or debris, whatever. In that space right now, you know, for the entire street. So that's what we have, a small, you know, ONJ Estates Homeowner Association. And that's my concern. Yes.
Mr. Arch, do you know the existing homeowner, that existing home that's there now, that's being knocked down, mm-hmm. are they members of the association?
I don't believe they are, Counselor.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they are. And quite frankly, I guess the homeowners association formation documents would probably control as to who is part of the homeowners association or not. So, yeah. Quite frankly, I can't answer that question one way or another until I have more information about it.
Yeah. So I know that current existing small home is not part of the association, but the second lot that I see, you know, the plan is trying to build, we kind of jointly maintain that area, like, you know, especially, you know, the detention basin that's leading off from there. So I just wanted to bring it up.
It's certainly okay. Something that I'll look into.
Thank you.
Is that all? Do we have another?
There's one more, Dajesh Patel.
Yeah, hi, my name is Dikesh Patel, and I'm residing on 38 Wosisano Court.
So I see it up on the screen. Is it D-I-G-E-S-H? Is your correct. First name, last name is Patel, P-A-T-E-L?
Yes, exactly.
And what is your current address, sir?
It's 38 Wosisano Court.
Okay. Ms. Saunders is going to swear you in, and then you can have whatever comments you want, sir.
Yeah, so
please raise your right hand, please.
Yes.
Do you swear that the testimony about to give be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Totally. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I had the same question what Jenny has asked, because even like I have seen the property, the entrance door of the both the new construction, proposed construction, both are going to be going out from the Wosisano Court entry. So they should be the part of the homeowner association, which we are been, when I moved in on 2011 on the same address, new address at 38, I have to join the part of the homeowner association. So anybody who is entering on that road, and if any construction is supposed to be a part of the homeowner association, that's what I am just believing.
Do you want to address that, Mr. Arch? You want me to, or?
I mean, again, I can't really give any more informed answer than I gave before. Yeah. Mr. Barlow, if you have anything else to add, you certainly can.
I mean, just from a real estate perspective, if the lots that are the subject of this application were not part of whatever development formed the homeowners association, they're not necessarily bound by it unless there's something in the agreement that Mr. Arch and I are completely unaware of. I guess they could certainly be invited to join the association if that's something the homeowner association would want to do, but that's not something really within the purview of this board as it pertains to this lot that's the subject of the subdivision.
So until now, before that construction happened, the whole entire from the entry of the Brookside Road to the entire left-hand side of areas, which is being maintained by the homeowner association. And then we are paying the fees every year to ensure that the entry level, all the trees and grass are cut on properly and maintained in a good condition. So the two houses which are going to be facing on those line area, are they going to maintain their own, or they, if they are not the part of the association, then they have to maintain the whole long strip, which is being their responsibility as the homeowner, because then they should not be expecting that the other side of the property on the Wasisano is being maintained by homeowners association and not by the on their side. So that should not be the like a constraint at the later on.
The short answer is, I don't, this board's not going to dictate who has to mow the lawn on their own property at this juncture. They have,
I mean, Mr. Barlow, I mean, their own property. That would be a property maintenance issue. Of course,
absolutely.
They'll be maintaining it. And if they don't, then they're going to get summonses.
The town will come out. Yep.
Yeah.
But will it not affect the, if they're not maintaining the property? I don't know when the Wasisano called houses was built. At that time, the main purpose of the association fee collection is to ensure that the, even though the township property on the beginning entry side, it is supposed to be maintained by the owners of the other house. And until the proposal for these two houses are come on the board, the homeowners association has maintained that property.
Your comments are noted, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who wish to question this witness?
No one, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Close to the public. Okay, Mr. Arch?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I indicated, there are I do have the potential homeowners or the applicants are here if there's any direct questions the board have for them. However, I don't intend to ask them any direct questions. I would just sum up to say that, again, I think these are relatively minor variances that we're requesting, and I think they're, quite frankly, dimensional variances and frontage variances that your board sees all the time and is not inconsistent with the variance relief that this board has granted in the past. I think that we've shown that there are some environmental features on the land that really lead to the need for these variances, which are unique to this piece of property and is not seen in other pieces of property. And I think that we've also demonstrated that these variances can be granted without a substantial detriment to the surrounding area. We are creating, improving, beautifying, adding the sidewalk, and putting in homes that are consistent, if not actually less intense than some of the homes that are in that area based on square footage. So with all that, I think that we have met the criteria for the VC variances. And I thank you for your time tonight.
Okay. Board members, you have, what's your pleasure on this application?
Madam Chair, I just want to make sure whatever we do, Mr. Barlow, we have those, the items that I discussed in part of with the memorialization.
Absolutely, though, and the applicant had agreed to them, they would be conditions of approval if those, the subject of a motion in favor.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion?
Reverend Kenny, I make a motion that this application be granted for this, these two lots that came before us tonight.
Subject to all the conditions.
Conditions be met.
Do I have a second?
Councilwoman Tindall, second.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Adkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Arch.
Thank you very much. Everybody have a wonderful evening.
You too, Mr.
Arch. You also.
Item number 11. 22ZB2728VKD Capital Ventures.
Madam Chair, this is Carol Saunders. I need to recuse myself from hearing this application for personal reasons.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
How does that, do we still have a quorum, Ms. Buckley?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll do all the swearing.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Dash, Anand Dash, is this your matter?
Yes. Good evening, Madam Chairwoman, ladies and gentlemen of the Planning Board. I'm representing the applicant, KD Capital Ventures, on this minor subdivision application with a C variances. It's in the R10 zone. We're proposing a two-lot subdivision, minor subdivision, pursuant to the Piscataway Township ordinances. I have with me tonight Tony Gallarano of Harbor Consultants to offer planning and engineering testimony with respect to the variances. We have, in addition, reviewed the Township Planning Board reports and are prepared to address any concerns, but we are prepared to address and comply with all of the conditions. We have previously met with the members of the Planning Board as a pre-concept meeting and are prepared to go forward tonight with any concerns the board may have.
Thank you. You may.
And I may add that we have provided due notice and certainly deferred to Mr. Barlow. Notice has been provided pursuant to NJSA 40:55-D12, as well as all owners within 200 feet and utilities. So I submit that for Mr. Barlow's consideration if we have proper jurisdiction before this board.
You do, sir. You can call your first witness.
Thank you so much. Mr. Gallarano, if you could please enter your appearance, and he's a licensed engineer and planner in the state of New Jersey. Tony?
Yes, sure. Do I need to be sworn in first?
Yes, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address.
Sure. It's Anthony Gallarano, spelled G-A-L-L-E-R-A-N-O, with the firm of Harbor Consultants. We're located at 320 North Avenue East in Cranford.
Raise your right hand, sir. You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
You're a witness, Mr. Dash.
Yes, Ms. Gallarano, would you provide the board the benefit of your qualifications, please?
Sure. So I graduated from the New Jersey Institute of Technology in 1984 with a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. I've been licensed as a professional engineer and professional planner since 1988. Since then, I have prepared numerous land use applications. I have testified throughout the state of New Jersey. I have been qualified numerous times as an engineer and planner. I also provide services to several municipalities in the capacity of board engineer, board planner, and municipal engineer.
Thank you. You may testify as an expert in engineering.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
And planning, Madam Chair.
And planning.
In both capacities.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So I'd like to actually go right to a share screen. I want to bring up, hold on one sec, let me do that again.
And Mr. Dash, if any of the exhibits your witnesses use, if they're the exact plans that were submitted, that's fine. But if there's any alterations, coloring, anything, just we'll identify them as A1 and keep going.
Thank you, Ms. Bella. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to actually start with the subdivision plans that were submitted with the application. These are actually unaltered. So I do have some other exhibits, but this one actually is again, unaltered. These are exactly what was submitted. So I'm starting with the cover sheet, which is sheet one of the plans. Just want to identify the location of the site. This is lot 801 in block 11207, located at 164 Fisher Avenue. It's located on the north side of Fisher between Forest and Deerfield Avenue. You'll note Fisher Avenue was formerly known as New Brunswick Avenue. Forest Street was formerly known as Fifth Street, and Deerfield Avenue was formerly known as Sixth Street. which will have some relevance a little bit later in the testimony. This lot is a little bit unusual. It's actually a reverse frontage lot, which means it has frontage on two streets. It has a 100-foot frontage along Fisher Avenue and a 75-foot frontage on Park Avenue. There is an existing dwelling, and I'm just going to scroll to sheet two, which is shows the existing conditions. As you can see, there's an existing dwelling fronting on Fisher Avenue. The portion fronting on Park is actually unoccupied. The entire lot area is 17,500 square feet. The total depth is 200 feet, which is consistent with the block. So with that, I'm going to get out of this exhibit, out of this site plan. I do have a site exhibit, which can everybody see this?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. I think I have to go back in. This is giving me a hard time. Why my site exhibit's not coming up. I'm having trouble with the site exhibit. Just try it one more time. Okay, how about now?
Yeah, it's
okay.
Okay, yeah, I don't know why that was giving me trouble. So this is a colorized version of the subdivision plan. Mm-hmm. So this was not submitted with the application package.
We'll refer to that as A1.
A1, okay. So what the applicant is looking to do is just basically subdivide the property, split the property in half, follow the 100-foot depth that basically is consistent with the block. This will create two lots, a 75 by 100-foot lot on Park Avenue and a 100 by 100-foot lot on Fisher Avenue. The lot on Fisher Avenue we've identified as lot 801, and that will contain the existing dwelling. The lot along Park Avenue we've identified as lot 802, and what the applicant is proposing is to subdivide and construct a future single family dwelling. This dwelling will have a one car garage, one car driveway, again fronting on Park Avenue. This is located in the R10 residential zone. In order to create this subdivision, there will be several bulk variances required. So first off, with the existing dwelling to remain, there is currently a pre-existing front yard nonconformity. The front yard requirement is 35 feet. The existing front yard setback is 25.2. Again, that will remain unchanged with the subdivision. A new variance will be created for the rear yard of the existing dwelling. And I'm just going to zoom in on that a little bit. With the creation of the subdivision line, that will create a rear yard setback of 19.5 feet, where 25 feet is required. With respect to the newly created lot on Park Avenue, lot 802, will require several variances with respect to Lot width and lot frontage. This is a 100-foot zone. So lot frontage and lot width is required to be 100 feet, where 75 feet is proposed. The lot area requirement is 10,000 square feet, where 7,500 square feet is proposed. So those three variances are being created. The front yard setback for the existing dwelling, I would represent as a C1 variance. The remainder, I would, again, represent as a C2 variances. And we'll get into the proofs in a few minutes. If you were to look around the surrounding area, you'll find that the majority of the lots are all in increments of 25 feet. They're either 50 foot, 75 foot, and 100 foot. And there's a reason, I'll explain in a minute why I believe how those lots were created that way. With respect to the reverse frontage lot, we don't typically, as engineers and planners, typically create reverse frontage lots by design. They're usually reserved for situations where you have maybe an undesirable frontage, like it would be like, say, a highway or a very, very busy street where you wouldn't want to put several homes on that frontage, creating a lot of driveways that would have to exit onto a busy road. So if you're creating a new subdivision, you might want to try to avoid that. And that's where we could potentially create a reverse frontage lots. You wouldn't typically see them in a residential subdivision like of this setting, where you're basically creating typical residential subdivision lots. So with that, I do have I do have another exhibit that I'd like to bring up and go over, if I can get that to work. So again, this is another exhibit. This was, again, not submitted with the package. So we assume we make that A2?
Correct.
Okay. So this is the file map that was actually recorded and created the existing subdivision. This map is identified as a map of Section A, New Brunswick Highlands, and it's dated March of 1920. So what we did was we highlighted onto the file map, which is the current lot configuration. As you can see, this map, as I mentioned earlier, Fisher was formerly known as New Brunswick, and Deerfield was formerly known as 6th Street, and Forest was formerly known as 5th Street. So back in this era, early 1900s, this was typically subdivisions were created in this fashion, where you would basically subdivide everything in small increments, like 25 feet, 30, 40 feet. In this case, all of these original lots were all subdivided into 25-foot increments. And then typically, people would purchase multiple lots depending on what size lot they ultimately wanted, right? So if somebody wanted a 50-foot lot, they'd buy two. If they wanted a 75-foot lot, they'd buy three. If they want a 100-foot lot, they'd buy four. So that's why you see in this neighborhood lots of 50-foot, 75-foot, 100-foot, because the lots were originally subdivided in 25-foot increments. In this case, somebody bought three 25s on Park and four 25s on New Brunswick. And those were, at that point, probably conforming. We don't know what the zoning was, but assuming they were conforming. Somewhere along the line, these lots were merged, right? So you had a 75 by 100 foot lot on Park and 100 foot by 100 foot lot on New Brunswick. They were somewhere along the line, they were merged. They could have been merged, intentionally by the owner. I think it's more probable that they were probably merged by the tax assessor at some point when the zoning was changed to 100 foot. You now had a non-conforming lot on Park Avenue, and you adjoining in common ownership to a conforming lot. So they're probably merged. But in either case, that's what you have. And that's more than likely why you have this reverse frontage lot, because you normally don't do that by design. So essentially what the applicant's looking to do is just put the lot line back where it was originally. Of course, with that, we know that now, because the zoning has changed and now it's a 100-foot zone, that's going to create several variances, which I had obviously pointed out before. So with that, I do have one last exhibit that I'd like to share. Bring that up. And this is a highlighted version of the tax map. And again, this was obviously, again, not submitted with the application. So I guess we mark it A3.
Correct, sir.
Okay. So what we did, like I mentioned before, if you look at the tax map, you'll see lots of like varying sizes, right? Of 50 foot, 75 mm-hmm. foot, 100 foot. I looked at an area just adjoining the property question. So along Park Avenue, I looked at lots on both sides of the street within the same block, and it's the same on Fisher Avenue. And all these lots that I identified with a red circle, those are all lots that are currently undersized. They're either 50 or 75 foot. There's a total of 33 lots in this study area. 16 of them are undersized. If I pan around and you kind of even look at the adjoining block, you'll see again, there's all different sizes, right? There's 50 footers or 75 footers, there's 100 footers. And that's pretty typical within that area that was created with that original file map. It all kind of follows the same theme. So with that, I believe, taking into consideration the area, that the size of the lots, I think that the creation of that 75 foot by 100 foot lot is going to be consistent with the neighborhood. I don't see that having any negative impact on any of the surrounding properties. So with that, it kind of leads into the negative criteria for the planning proofs. I believe the negative criteria is satisfied. I don't see, again, the lot size having any negative impact. Also, with respect to the rear yard being created, rear yard setback variance being created for the existing dwelling, again, I don't see that 19 and a half foot setback having any negative impact on any of the surrounding area. So again, I believe that a negative criteria is satisfied. With respect to the positive criteria, I believe that the purpose of zoning is advanced under paragraph M, which talks about efficient use of land. So I believe that there is adequate criteria for the granting of the variance. I don't believe, again, we'll have any substantial detriment to the surrounding area, zone plan, or zoning ordinance. And then lastly, we are in receipt of all of the professionals' reports, the board professional reports. And as our attorney pointed out, we're perfectly capable of addressing all of those comments. So with that, I do not have any other direct testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. And I'll just note for the record that we are also, in addition, eliminating the through lot that currently exists, which is an additional benefit of this subdivision. Madam Chairman, I have no further questions for our only witness. I would return it back to the board for any questions or any questions from the public.
Members of the board, do you have any questions of the prior witness? Mr. Gallerano?
Yes.
Hearing no questions.
Madam Chair, can I ask one?
Sure, absolutely.
Question or two? How are you doing, Tony?
Sure, how are you?
Good to see you. I think we're going to see each other tomorrow night. I just want to get this narrow. The through lot condition is not a preferred configuration on a zoning on a planning perspective. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, like I said, we don't usually create these by design.
Yeah, and I think you showed that historic map that shows there are some unique conditions going back decades before zoning even was implemented. So you're eliminating that through lot condition. All the lots next to the lot that's being created are developed, correct?
That's correct.
So there's no opportunity to create a conforming lot.
Yes, I agree.
So So is it a balance here? You're eliminating a bad thing. So in essence, would your professional opinion be that You know, it benefits the community to eliminate this through lot condition and put a house eliminate. I heard this term a couple of weeks ago about gaps in the, they said it looks like a missing tooth. In other words, when you go along Park, this is gap there. So they're going to put a house. Does that complete the street grid that is kind of envisioned?
Yeah, I'm going to agree 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah, I never heard missing tooth before, and I liked it, and I kept it in mind. So anyway, I just wanted to, you know, just kind of narrow that, you know, while there's other undersized lots in the area, there's some unique conditions specific to this site that, you know, relates to the variances you're requesting.
Agreed. And I like that term too. I'm going to steal that from you.
Yeah, well, it wasn't from me. I'll tell you who it was on an email, but it was, okay. I never heard it before. And I said, that's good.
Yeah, I like it.
Since if the board doesn't have any questions of this witness, can we open it up to the public?
Yes, we have a Joyce Hancock.
Ms. Hancock?
Ms. Hancock?
Can you hear us?
Oh, that doesn't sound like Joyce.
That's your husband. Yes,
yeah. Can't say that today's.
Okay, well, one at a time, who's going to be testifying?
Jeff Williams.
Okay. Mr. Williams, if you could spell your name, state your name, spell your last name, and give us your address, sir.
Jeffrey Williams, last name W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S.
Okay, and your address, sir?
It's 155 Park Avenue.
Okay. Sir, if you could raise your right hand, you swear the testimony you give before this board will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what would you like to tell the board, Mr. Williams?
Well, before we start, I'd like to just say that we have owned this house. This house was built by my father-in-law. Joyce Hancock is my wife. I am actually the house and property adjoining this property. I do a few things I'd just like to say. Currently, there is a driveway that we use that's on the property. The day my father-in-law built this house, we've been using this driveway as an easement to get to the back of our property since 1960, so over 60 years. I actually grew up in this neighborhood. So this property has a historical significance to this community that I want the board to understand there. A lot of children have grown up on this property, have played in this property. This is property until it was recently sold, has been part of my wife's family. Currently, like I said, there's a driveway that we've been using. Before the board makes any ruling on this, I would like an opportunity to possibly consult a lawyer to see what my rights are and the use of the continued use of this easement, which has been granted to us, like I said, for over 60 years. Currently, I would also like to address the parking situation specifically in this block. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think Mr. Gallerano said that they were gonna build a one car garage with a one car driveway. Currently, we have a number of vehicles that park on the street because there is not enough parking in driveways. I think it's, building a house would negatively affect the parking on this street, which is already a hazard. Piscataway just recently put in rumble strips because this is a busy street. I know people who don't live here may not know it, and some people may, as Mr. Reinstein may have said, a broken tooth or whatever, but we don't see it that way. That is a lot that has been there. It has been used. I think putting a house here will negatively affect our block and our neighborhood, especially since you need so many setbacks. So I'm asking that the board maybe deny this application to divide this lot into two lots and install a second house on this lot. But at the very least, I'd like the chance to, before you make a ruling, consult a lawyer as to what legal rights I have to use this easement, which is currently on the property, but it has been granted to my wife and her family and me since I bought this property, and has been in use for over 60 years.
So just by, I have one question, and then Mr. Dash may either clarify or have some questions. You keep using the word easement. Is there a filed legal document that's been, you know, filed with the clerk's office granting a legal easement, or are you just indicating that over time you've used it?
Over time, we don't have a legal signed document. Okay.
Okay, that's fine.
But it's been in our family. We've used it for 60 years. It's well documented. I can provide testimony and witnesses that.
That's not necessary. I mean, the property owner has the right to use the property as he chooses, you know, and sees fit, regardless of the prior historical use of it. It's still private property. But that's why an easement is a legal term that actually has some additional legal connotations. That's why I just wanted a clarification. Mr. Dash, do you want to? I don't know where Mr. Dash went.
Hmm.
I think he might have got knocked off. Ms. Buckley, do you see Mr. Dash?
No, I do not.
Mr. Barlow, while we're waiting to get the legal counsel back from the applicant, I understand the concerns of the residents out there, but unless there was a formal easement out there, it really wasn't an easement, even though historically they've been using the property, correct?
Correct. They've actually been trespassing. From a legal perspective, they've gone on the private property. Now, again, they may have had the permission of the owners, but without a filed easement, it's the individual, it's a property owner's right to do, to attempt to do with the property, whatever the law allowed or the planning
board. So in a case like this, Mr. Barlow, technically the new owner who's filing the application here today technically can legally put a fence up and block access there because there's not a legal document saying that they can have access.
Absolutely. To put up a fence tomorrow morning.
In Mayor Waller, you know, I took a site visit to see her, and you know, I'm not taking sides or anything, but you know, and these comments were, you know, well founded. But I think they also have access to off street parking on their property itself. I mean, that's what I observed. So this was additional access, and you know, whether you not call it trespassing, it's not like they're cutting off existing, you know, access to off-street, now, needed off-street parking.
Can I just stop before and say, Mr. Gallerano, I think he's trying to get our attention.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt you. Yeah.
You got Mr. Dash back?
Yeah. The objection of the neighboring owner. However, I will note there's been no formal, we've satisfied both the positive and negative criteria for the variances. You know, this is obviously the first time we're hearing of this. There hasn't been a formal claim submitted for any type of adverse possession or easement. I would submit that this is a private dispute that goes beyond the jurisdiction of this board. And in as much as we've satisfied the criteria under the MRUL, I would respectfully submit that this type of objection goes beyond the purview of the jurisdiction.
I mean, I would agree with regards to, you know, access from an adjacent property owner. Are you okay proceeding on the telephone? I guess you got knocked off the Zoom, Mr. Dash.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm trying to connect. Okay. That's fine. Fine.
Okay. And you're asking that the board move the matter this evening, one way or the other, but you're not consenting or asking for an adjournment.
No, I'm not. Okay. I think the applicant, based on our testimony this evening, has satisfied the criteria under the MLUL for the granting of this subdivision, as we've met both the positive and negative criteria for the variances. And
Mr. Barlow, let's cut to the chase here.
Yeah.
I would be willing to punt this application for 1 month, and here's the reason why. The applicant's not going anyplace because there's a moratorium on Park Avenue. They're not going to be able to cut into the road anyway for another 5 or 6 years. So they may eventually get the grant of the variance, but they're not going to be able to cut into the road because we just finished Park Avenue and there's a moratorium on it. for utilities. So giving an additional 1 month to iron out, I don't have a problem with doing that because this application is not going anyplace anytime soon. They're not going to be able to break ground anyway. So I do want to add into those conditions that as the prior application about the fiber optic and making sure that they do have sidewalks if the board eventually agrees to the application, sidewalks on both lots. And I want to do ask Dawn Corcoran to check in about possible if they have a two-car garage or unless if they don't have enough room. Does the applicant know that there is a moratorium out there?
Yeah. It's in Mr. Hinterstein's report.
All right. I just want to make sure the applicant is crystal clear that it's not going to be able to cut into the road for utilities.
There is a moratorium.
Mr. Mayor, also, aren't we asking, and it might be in the report, but I didn't notice it look about who were you just asking about for future, either it was either fiber optics,
yes.
What is that again?
It's some a fiber optic conduit.
Okay. Do we have that too as well, Mr. Barlow, in the
well,
staff
that'll be
report?
A condition.
I mean, that's got to be.
I'm sorry. The mayor just raised that as a condition, which, Mr. Dash, do you have any objection to that?
No. Okay. As far as that condition, we do not have any objection.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Corcoran?
So I apologize. Just to be clear, that is the sidewalks and the utilities, correct?
Yes, we noted that there's a request to add the sidewalk, and where it's the applicant's desire to comply with that conditions.
Okay,
that is a condition. Okay, but I do want to bring up the same concern that the mayor just mentioned is, you know, the ordinance on the two car garage. I mean, we know that, and of course, this lot is only 75 foot, but isn't that our ordinance now? Am I wrong, Dawn?
You have to provide for a minimum of one car garage.
A one car garage, but the driveway has to be able to fit so many cars. Is that it, Dawn?
They are proposing a new garage for the new dwelling. However, the ordinance does state if a home predates 1978, a garage is not required, and that's with the existing. Maybe Mr. Dash can just tell us what the age of the existing dwelling is. The board can certainly still require it, but that could explain why there's not currently a garage for the existing.
I think the question was the one car garage on the new construction.
Yeah.
Right, and that's shown on the architectural
plan.
Yeah, and that's consistent fine. With the MLUL.
Right, and then
I'm
what
a little confused
the space
because
on the driveway, room for two cars, one in the garage, one in the driveway. Is that accurate, Dawn?
I have to look to see how many bedrooms they're proposing on these plans.
Oh, that's right. It's based on bedrooms, isn't it?
When I went out to the site, I witnessed that the existing home has a garage, a one-car garage.
Yes, that's correct.
Are they saying that there's not a garage? Now, there may not be enough distance on the driveway for a parking spot. See, that's the thing. They have it looked to me like a one-car garage, but you know, you have to see, is there enough space for a second car in the driveway?
And is it still a garage? There hasn't been. We've been getting a lot of these illegal garage conversions. So perhaps they can just confirm that as well, that it still is, in fact. You know what I mean, Ron? Sometimes they have these garage doors.
Exactly.
We've been seeing that so many times now.
We see that all the time in different communities I represent.
Yeah.
All I say is that what I saw was looked like a garage, whether or not I did not go inside, but
of
they
course.
Had a garage, you know, so maybe that needs to be clarified. What are they using it for?
Okay.
Well, just to be clear, my concern was with the new house in the garage, the parking space.
There's a lot of interference.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Mr. Galarano, is Mr. Dash trying to comment?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Please.
Okay. Well. Let Mr. Where you're talking while other people are talking, we want to hear you. Sure. So, please go ahead.
Yes. I just respectfully submit that the neighboring property owner who had voiced the objection, there is an existing driveway and garage with ample parking space that would it seems to me avoids the issue that's been raised by the objector.
And my understanding is, according to your report, there's a garage, a one-car garage, and one-car driveway for a total of two for both lots. The RSIS requires 2.5, but you round down, so the applicant is compliant with the RSIS standards, according to your report, correct, Ron?
Confirmed. Yes.
Okay. Parking provided, Councilwoman.
There is 25 feet front of the garage, so there is enough space to put a car in the existing driveway, so you can get a
I wanted to bring that up, if I could, Ron and Mr. Rowell, the reason why is because the resident who is on the line wanting to object to this has a valid point about the parking on the off-street parking on Park, right? That is a valid point. The property is an entirely different thing. You know, without an agreement, that is entirely private property up to whoever owns the property to, you know, do with, not as they will, but come before the board for housing. So that's an entirely different issue. But I do want the board to recognize that on Park, there is an issue with off-street parking, and I travel it every day. So it's really got to be that whatever house goes on the Park Street house has the parking spaces, has the garage, has the room for the car.
I parked on, was it Foster on there? You know, I didn't park on either way, but it's a valid point. But it seems that the applicant is providing the parking that they need from Park. But the other thing is, and you see these comments about basements and such, and the mayor raised this a couple months ago. Since RSIS is driven by bedrooms, it's always important to say, hey, what is each floor having? Because any additional bedrooms anywhere is going to change the parking requirements. And, you know, we see it time and time again. So it's good that it's vetted. And going back to Dawn's comment about the, you know, what the existing home has, I mean, we got to make sure that that garage is used as a garage, not, you know, another bedroom or something.
As the applicant, on behalf of the applicant, we would have no issue in having that as a condition. The applicant does not intend to use the garage as any type of residential quarters.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah. So just to be clear, I'm not really concerned about the house on Fisher. I'm concerned about the house on Park Avenue, like I said, that they haven't built. That's so, I mean, the Fisher house is not the one I'm concerned about. As Councilman Cahill explained, it's more sort of parking on Park Avenue. Currently, directly across from that house, we have a house that doesn't have enough parking, and they actually have, currently they have six cars, four of them which are on the street now. And that's my concern, that if you don't have enough parking with whatever size house you put there, it's just more parking on the street, which is a nightmare now. So that's really my concern. It's not the Fisher Avenue house, it's the new house being proposed on Park Avenue with the parking.
Understood, Mr. Williams. There are certain standards that are put out called the RSIS standards, and the applicant is complying with those standards. So beyond that, they've complied with the requisite standards for what they're proposing.
So, and Mr. Barlow, just to help out, you know, the neighbor here, they're here for a subdivision application. They have to come back if they are applying, whether or not Park Avenue is on the moratorium. They have to apply for a conforming home. Would that be correct? In other words, has to comply with all the regulations. Mm-hmm. They've presented a concept plan.
Well, if what they plan to build changes from what they've submitted and it requires additional variances, they would have to come back before this board for an amended resolution, or theoretically, if it's just a bulk variance, they could go back before the zoning board. But
correct.
They're being granted certain variances. They can't suddenly build a house twice the size because it would trigger more variances.
That helps the neighbor.
Right. It definitely does. But Mr. Barlow, just to be clear, is that when the proposed development comes then to be built and is filed, any variance above and beyond what is granted today, it will trigger that, so that the neighbor here who's on the line will know that if the lot size approved, and to be honest with you, I mean, I understand that the space and people playing there, but there are homes there that are 75 foot 50, and we know we don't do that anymore, but housing is at a premium now, the lot can be developed at 75 feet because we have plenty of other homes like that. However, I just want to make sure that we are very clear with what the variances we are granting today, because if the house comes in with an inch more of what's being granted, the variance must be triggered. And I'm saying that for the benefit of the resident. We all know what happens, but residents don't always know what happens, right?
100% Councilwoman, and you know Mr. Hinterstein and Dawn are not going to let that happen. So that is going to conform, or they'll be right back before you.
Yes, and we intend to comply with that, Tom.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any other members of the public who have any questions with reference to this application? Yes.
There's a Keegan Rollins.
Come forward. Okay.
Hello, Keegan Rollins?
Yes, I'm here.
The spelling of your name as per the Zoom is K-E-E-G-A-N, last name Rollins, R-O-L-L-I-N-S.
That's correct.
Could you give us your address, sir?
My address is 179 Park Avenue. I am the owner of the corner lot adjacent to the subdivided property.
Okay, if you could raise your right hand, you swear the testimony I give before this board will be the truth, the whole truth. So if you got?
I do.
All right. What would you like to tell the board, Mr. Rollins?
Okay. So firstly, I appreciate your guys' time. So when we bought the house, my wife and I, a few years ago, the previous owner, Mrs. Jackson, you know, had explained to me that, you know, her and her husband had owned, I guess, all of that surrounding property, and over time it had been subdivided and sold off. If you remember looking at the pictures of the lot and the property, you know, the portion, the 75 foot lot, you know, is pretty close to my property as well. Now on my side, I actually have a driveway there. I believe technically though, it's only 3/4 of the driveway. That's exactly where my mailbox is. So when you guys talk about it not negatively affecting or impacting the community, I don't believe that's accurate. Again, that's a driveway that I've used, especially for elderly relatives who are coming to visit. It's the best way to get them into my home. In addition, I heard, I believe it was Ms. Cahill talking about new homes being built that size. Are you guys currently building homes that size in town, on those size lots? I mean, it seems like if you look at Park Avenue, you have a lot of older homes. I mean, the disparity in size in homes is vast. You've got tiny homes crammed next to bigger homes, crammed next to smaller homes. I'm just curious as to what the plan is, because parts of the street looks great. Other parts, you know, you have a lot of, you know, different constructions going on there. I'm just concerned that based on what I've seen on the construction of the current property, you know, I'm not confident that what they're going to be putting there is going to be something that I'm going to want to have next door to me, especially if it's going to be compromising my ability to use my secondary driveway.
Sir, just to clarify, that the secondary driveway, is that the property that's part of this application, or are you talking about your own property?
So again, where this property meets my property at the corner, I don't know if you have a map of the property in front of you.
I'm just asking, is it on your property or is it the other person's property?
The driveway itself is in between the current property. It's in between. It's three quarters my property, 25%, to my understanding, their property. So it would become unusable, is what I'm saying to you.
Okay, but a private citizen has the right to use their own property the way they choose to.
That's fine.
That's why
I'm just bringing this up in response to the fact that it was stated several times that it would be an improvement to the community to put a tooth there where there isn't a tooth. And sometimes too many teeth means that you have crowding. So I'm just trying to understand, you know, what the thought process is.
You need a coat.
It's a term of art in planning and land use that you want to infill vacant lots, which is what the applicant is proposing.
Okay. I mean, has the applicant thought about again selling some of that property? I mean, to the neighbors, perhaps. I mean, that might be a better situation.
Well, this board doesn't get involved in the private negotiations between parties or neighbors. This board's function is to hear the evidence on the application and decide based on the law and what their charge is as to whether or not to approve an application. What private citizens want to do between themselves, that's up to the private citizens. So.
Okay. Just my last thing to that point is that the property, you know, was intact as one property, and I object to it being subdivided. So,
okay. Thank you for your appearance this evening, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Barlow, if I may, I'm going to unfortunately have to leave the meeting. So I am asking the board members to hold this off till next month until some of this other legal wrangling can get taken care of, but we should conclude whatever testimony that needs to happen tonight. And from whatever
I'm going to agree with the mayor because, you know, the fact is that no construction can happen right away. There's no reason not to pause for just 30 days.
Yeah.
These residents may be wanting to contact the landowner to purchase it. We'll say it's probably a premium for anyone who's still on the line, but maybe that's what they would want to do. And I think it's a fair enough because of the situation, not as a standard, but because they can't go to build right away, 30 days should not negatively affect this application. That's my opinion.
Okay. I know you have to go. Mr. Dash, you don't have any other witnesses you were planning on calling, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So the board is moving to close the testimony on this application. There would be no further notices that you'd be required to submit. Anyone on this hearing, you're not going to get another notice. The next meeting is scheduled for May 10th, 2023 at 7:30 p.m.
Okay.
Based on your comments, if you want to reach out to the property owner, you've gotten a letter from them, you can do that. But the board plans to take action at the next meeting. Thank you. If there's a motion to carry this to the May 10th meeting, that would be appropriate.
Yeah, I'll make that motion. And I wanted to also just to be clear to the residents who are on here is that the private property issue is private property. If there were papers, something, in other words, then that's a legal issue. And again, this board does not get in the middle of that piece of it. But when we do come back, if there is going to be no sort of deal struck or whatever the case may be, I can just tell you is that, you know, this board will tend to probably approve this application based on these. I just want to set an expectation that this isn't an extraordinary ask as compared to a lot of things we've seen. But I think it's fair enough that the board is giving to you, the residents, the opportunity to contact the property owner about the one gentleman who's using that one drive, the other gentleman with his driveway abutting so close and maybe interested in purchasing it. But I do want to say that out loud. And if you can understand that and understand that's a fair statement, I'm willing to move the application. And I hope somebody will second that.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Reverend Kenny, Madam Chair, I'll second that motion that we table this for 30 days.
Ms. Buckley, will you call the roll, please?
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Members of the board, thank you.
Excuse me?
I just wanted to thank the board for its time and indulgence, and just to confirm certainly with Tom that there's no further legal notice will be required for the May 10th meeting.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Dash, I'll email you the new Zoom information.
Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome.
The next regular meeting will be on May 10th at 7:30. Do I get a motion? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So move, Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny.
Second? Do I have a second? Second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any
aye
opposers? Good night, everybody.
Have a wonderful night, everyone. Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Good night, everyone.